This morning on WCHL, here in Orange County, we're bracing for another dose of wintry weather. We'll let you know the latest forecast. Have a little more to drink than you thought? Don't want to drive home? Well, in Carborough, you can once again leave your car overnight.
It was a mistake on our part because it's encouraging people to drive cars when they shouldn't.
And it could be until 2016 before you see a bond referendum on the ballot in Orange County.
I'm a little concerned that if we shoot for 2014, we're going to not do a very good job.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together in WCHL Championship Sports. Carolina Duke, Part 1, tips tonight. Rain or shine, snow or shine, whatever the case may be, you know the game will go on no matter what the weather, and we'll get you ready for it. And
10 reasons why Duke is in trouble if it snows.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 28 degrees in Chapel Hill. Our temperatures are going to stay there all day. We have snow expected to start at about lunchtime today. Total accumulation of up to 11 inches predicted by the National Weather Service. By the end of the day tomorrow, National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Moneypenny says it should be a pretty constant event. WCHL's Rand Northam has details.
It's going to be pretty much a continuous event. We're looking at the snow to continue to get a little bit heavier today. And then tomorrow, as the system actually pulls off to the northeast, it will wrap around some cold air and some more snow, and that'll come across tomorrow through around lunchtime.
Moneypenny says the question of if has been answered, but the more important question is what kind of precipitation the area will get and how much.
We have 100% probability of precipitation. Just about the whole state is going to be affected. The thing is, the ice accumulations right across the heart of the state, you know, from Charlotte up across Fayetteville and the Triangle area, including Chapel Hill, we could see power outages, which would last for more than, you know, a day or so after the end of the storm.
Chapel Hill Carborough saw the worst flood since what some say dates back to the 1930s this summer. While this storm isn't being projected as an 80-plus year storm, Moneypenny says early estimates make it one of the worst in at least a decade.
We see these ice storms on occasion, but my goodness, you know, I have not gone back and researched it. But I think I've heard the number 2002 bandied around, the worst one since then, or the worst that we're forecasting since then.
Stay tuned to WCHL and Chapelboro.com for all the latest on the impending winter weather, including early releases from schools, closings, cancellations, and delays. On our website, you can also find the latest forecast and listen to the full interview with National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Moneypenny. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, we're expecting a total accumulation of snow up to 11 inches between now and tomorrow, and an ice accumulation on top of that. We're expected to have sleet and freezing rain overnight, and that could cause some real problems on the roadways. It also is going to be windy during all of that time, tonight and tomorrow in particular, with wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Again, the chance of precipitation near 100%. Looks like a pretty done deal. That traffic light we told you about this morning at Martin Luther King Boulevard and Weaver Dairy Road, it's back to normal now. Not on blink anymore. Everything is normal as far as we know with all of our traffic signals around the community. Now, as far as the schools are concerned, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools will be dismissing early today. Elementary schools will get out at 11 o'clock. Middle schools at 11:45 and high schools at 12:30. Again, they're going at the regular times today, but will dismiss early. Elementary 11, middle 11:45, and high school 12:30. Orange County schools, very similar. They will go at the regular schedules today. Elementary schools will get out at 11. Middle schools will dismiss at 11:30, and high schools will dismiss at 11:45. That is in the Orange County school system. Chatham County schools close today. It's an optional employee workday there. Durham County schools will close 3.5 hours earlier than usual. St. Thomas More Catholic School will close at 11:30 this morning. Lunch will not be served. Afternoon activities there are canceled. Those are all the special announcements we have as far as the schools are concerned. We have all the information on our our website at chapelboro.com, and we'll be announcing more as we get them, if we get them. Chapel Hill Transit buses, including Tar Heel Express shuttles, will run as long as the routes will allow them. Any routes that cannot be run will be announced on Chapel Hill Transit's website. We'll, of course, have it posted on our website at chapelboro.com. So basically, all you have to do is stay on WCHL and check our website constantly, and we'll let you know what the deal is. But as far as we know, right now, all the buses will continue to run as normally scheduled, including the buses to the game tonight, Carolina and Duke. And yes, the game will go on no matter what the weather. Folks who enjoy Carrboro's nightlife but worry about driving home afterward, no matter what the weather is, may once again leave their vehicles parked in public lots overnight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Just before Carrboro's mayor and aldermen closed a work session to the public on Tuesday night, Alderman Damon Siles made the evening's last public motion.
That we remove the change we made around 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. parking in public lots.
It's been a nagging issue for Siles for several weeks, and voting on it was preempted by another threat of inclement weather a few weeks ago. But Tuesday, he finally got a vote on rescinding the town's prohibition on parking in public lots between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. It didn't take long. There was no need for staff presentations, and comments, such as this one from Alderman Jacqueline Gist, were few.
I'd second that because it was a mistake on our part, because it's encouraging people to drive cars when they shouldn't.
The ban was put in place last year. Speaking to WCHL recently, Siles recapped how parking in public lots during the wee hours became an issue in the first place.
Some residents who were beginning to use the public parking lot for long-term parking because, you know, presumably they didn't have enough parking on their properties.
Not long after Alderman voted for the ban, Siles and others reconsidered. He told WCHL that it wasn't because of a reported uptick in roadway accidents or DUI arrests. He said it was based on feedback from local business owners and constituents who just thought it was a bad idea to make people drive when they shouldn't just to avoid getting a parking ticket. Nobody has to worry about that anymore. Last night, aldermen unanimously removed the ban on wee hours parking. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The Orange County Commissioners last night backed away from a plan to bring a bond referendum to voters this November, but they say they might consider doing it during the next presidential primary. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Both Orange County Schools and Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools are facing multi-million dollar repairs to fix up aging facilities. But commissioners worry there's not enough time to put together a $100 million bond package before a September deadline to get it on the ballot for the general election.
I'm a little concerned that if we shoot for 2014, we're going to not do a very good job of getting everything in place and taking a chance that it will not pass.
That's Board Vice Chair Earl McKee. He and fellow board members are also wary of taking up bond planning while the county's in the process of searching for a new manager, a search that's taking longer than expected. Commissioners expressed little interest last night in pushing to meet the deadline for a ballot measure this year, instead eyeing the timing of future referendums. But some, including Mark Dorison, worry rural residents would be disenfranchised if the countywide bond went to the voters in 2015, when only municipal races are on the ballot.
If you look back at the turnout for the off-year versus an on-year midterm election, there's more than 25% greater turnout.
Instead, commissioners are considering May of 2016, when turnout is expected to be high for the presidential and gubernatorial primaries. No date has been determined, and the board did not rule out the possibility of putting the measure up for a vote next year. Commissioners say they want input from staff on the timing and process of crafting a bond package, as well as more information from both school systems about what projects are top priorities. The last bond referendum in 2001 netted the county an additional $75 million for schools, parks, and housing. The proposed $100 million bond would be the county's largest in recent history. But even that would be a drop in the bucket, as the school district's combined list of repairs is estimated to be more than the county's entire $192 million annual operating budget. Board Chair Barry Jacobs says voters should know the upcoming bond referendum could be the first of several.
The needs are too big for one bond cycle. And so, say they're going to have several bonds over a period of time to address several $100 million worth of school needs for both systems.
Meanwhile, the Chapel Hill Town Council is eyeing its own $20 million bond package to replace or upgrade aging facilities. That measure could potentially go on the ballot in 2017. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board is considering a new renovation plan that will cost more than $160.8 million to repair 10 of its aging facilities and add more space for a growing student population. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
The renovation plan, if approved by the school board, would require a bond referendum. The architectural firm, which produced the estimate, originally formulated three repair plans, with costs falling between $52 million and more than $215 million. The higher the cost, the more extensive the repairs. This left it up to the discretion of the board to weigh its available funds versus the necessity of the repairs. However, Ashley Dennis of Mosley Architects explained to the board at its retreat Tuesday that it has been determined that the firm needed to reassess its estimates in order to factor in additional costs. Dennis said that the more than $160 million estimate was a more realistic figure. It would include the more than $2,900,000 in temporary facilities costs to house students during the construction phases.
You couldn't just do it. You really would have to think about where the kids go, where the staff goes.
The school board approved the capital investment plan last week, which fell significantly short of funding basic repair needs. With these renovations, district officials have said it would delay the need for building a new elementary school, saving the district money in the short term. The new plan places Carrboro Elementary School as its top priority, allocating more than $13.5 million for improvements, such as a new wing and an increased capacity of 52 seats. Dennis shared that Chapel Hill High School was the most challenging campus to evaluate due to issues such as its size, multiple building layout, and deteriorated building conditions. The cost for work at the high school is estimated to be more than $54.5 million, the highest of all 10 renovation projects. The renovations would increase the capacity of the high school by more than 105 seats. Following the presentation of proposed renovation costs to Chapel Hill High School, Jamizetta Bedford, chair of the board, offered this.
I guess our question is it worth it, or should we just be tearing the whole thing down and start?
Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze said the board needed more clarification on the new renovation plan before taking a formal vote of approval. On a date still to be determined, the board will hold a work session to discuss the plan. LaFreeze said he hoped to have a proposal ready to go before the Orange County Commissioners within 2 months. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. And big games are always right around the corner. For example, we have a big game tonight coming up right here in Chapel Hill. Order today from Dickie's Barbecue Pit, and they'll have it ready for you. Choose from 8 juicy hickory smoked meats. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is next to New Hope Commons in Durham, on the Chapel Hill side of Durham. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Ram Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound between at NC 86 and Manning Drive, seeing heavy delays right now. Heading further southbound between Manning Drive and NC 54, seeing additional delays as well. 15501 northbound between Ephesus Church Road and I-40, seeing minor to moderate delays. NC 54 heading eastbound between Manning Drive and I-40, seeing delays right now as well. Estes Drive heading westbound between Franklin Street and NC 86, seeing some delays. That's MLK. Franklin Street heading southwest, seeing delays right now between 15501 and Estes Drive as well. I-40 moving smoothly for the most part right now. The Durham Freeway also moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. The traffic light at MLK and Weaver Dairy functioning properly now. That is good news, and maybe a little test run for what could happen later on in the day today. See how quickly the crews can get out there.
Really?
Yeah, conditions might be a little different. But if you see anything, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Everything's fine now, but later on in the day, you don't want to be on the roads.
That is for sure. I know a lot of people are going to want to get to the Dean Dome. If you can do so safely, if you're close by, hey, walking might be quicker for you and safer. But otherwise, you know, curling up next to a radio, listening to it on WCHL, not a bad way to go.
Exactly right.
Let the students go make the atmosphere.
Exactly. Hey, and you know they'll get there.
You betcha.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast. Wouldn't you like to have a cup right now? Guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. Winter storm warning goes into effect officially at 9 o'clock this morning, less than an hour from now. Snow mainly in the afternoon, starting at about lunchtime. snow accumulation up to 3 inches by the end of the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 20s. As a matter of fact, the temperatures are going to stay right where they are. We're 28 degrees right now, and we don't expect it to do much varying at all. Just a couple of degrees either way. Chance of snow, 100%. That will continue all the way through tonight. Now, in addition to the snow, tonight we could get some sleet moving in late. Ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. Overnight low, upper 20s, going to stay where it is. North winds with gusts up to 25 miles per hour this evening. Chance of precipitation remains at 100%. Now tomorrow, light freezing rain or freezing drizzle and snow with a chance of sleet in the morning, then snow in the afternoon too. Additional snow and sleet accumulation up to 3 inches. Total snow accumulation, 6 to 11 inches, they're saying. Ice accumulation, a trace, and that could be enough to cause some real problems. Our high temperature tomorrow in the middle 30s in the afternoon, so that is good news. It'll get up above freezing, but not expecting a lot of sunshine. Chance of precipitation, 90%, even tomorrow. So it looks like a pretty done deal, pretty sure thing. Snow is coming and some ice on top of that. And that could cause some real problems. 820 at WCHL. Glad to have you along this morning. This is WCHL's Wednesday morning news. I'm Rod Stutz. And let's turn quickly to WCHL Championship Sports. The 16-7 Tar Heel men's basketball team, 6-4 in the ACC, welcomes 19-5 Duke. They're 8-3 in conference play. Well, it's just Carolina Duke. That's all you need to say. It happens in the Smith Center tonight at 9 o'clock. It's in front of a nationally televised audience. The best rivalry in all of college basketball, no question. Now, WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the matchup.
The 237th installment of what is widely believed to be the greatest rivalry in college sports promises to be another classic encounter between two of the most iconic programs in college basketball. Carolina comes into the contest on a roll, winning 5 straight games, while Duke overmatched a pair of ACC foes in the week leading up to the Tobacco Road rivalry. Sophomore guard Marcus Page says the team is confident it can sustain the momentum in the Duke game.
I think we've had some success and we've been able to build off of it, and it's given us some confidence. We know what we're capable of doing now. You know, we're not struggling as much. We're still not perfect by any means, but we understand that, you know, our defense can get us through our tough stretches on offense, and guys are figuring out their roles and what works well. And I think as long as we, you know, continue to stick to that and build off that, that we can keep this run going.
Head coach Roy Williams says he worries that the Tar Heels do not have any low post players that can dominate inside and create matchup problems for the Blue Devils.
The difficulty lies in the fact that we don't present the same kind of problems for them on the other end. When we had, you know, Andrew mentioned Tyler. When we had Tyler as our 5-man, he created tremendous matchup problems for them on the offensive end. And we don't have the low post kind of score this year that presents a lot of matchup problems for them.
Coach Williams says freshman Kennedy Meeks has matured and developed a ton over the course of the season, but he says he still hasn't become the player he hopes he can be. But that isn't stopping Coach Williams from hoping for the best in the Duke contest.
Kennedy's doing a nice job, but he's going to be a really good player. But he's not at that level yet, except I hope he eats the right Cheerios for breakfast tomorrow and he works for him tomorrow night. But he hasn't shown that he's going to be a guy that can score 20 points and foul out 3 guys on the other team yet, which I'm hoping he will get to that stage. And I wouldn't mind if he started tomorrow night and does it tomorrow night.
The difference in the game may come down to 3-point shooting. Coach Williams points out that the Blue Devils have a distinct advantage from behind the arc.
You can put them in a certain category, and that's the only thing. I think they've always played shooting a lot of 3-point shots, running the ball, guarding people, taking the ball away from them, passing it, not turning over. And you look at that team, I mean, they're shooting 42% from the 3-point line. They're shooting 43% in the league, which you should. Most teams' percentages go down. We don't have anybody on our team shooting 43%.
The Tar Heels lead the all-time series 132-104, but the Blue Devils claimed the last meeting between the two schools 69-53 in March of 2013. Carolina is an even 39-39 against Duke since Mike Krzyzewski became the Duke head coach. Wednesday night's game will tip the scales one way or another. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And C.L. Brown of ESPN joins us now. ESPN will be showing this game all over the country. And when you talk about Carolina and Duke, the rivalry just doesn't get any better than that. C.L., what do you think about tonight's matchup?
I think it can be a very intriguing, end up being one of the more intriguing games in the series of late, especially. Mainly because what if the weather just makes things crazy for fans to get there? I kind of think it could be like that 2000 game against Maryland.
Exactly,
where
yeah.
General admission seating, the lower tier was full-ish, and but it was loud, and raucous, and really kind of turned things around for Carolina. So I think I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. But in terms of the game action, I mean, I think it, at the risk of oversimplifying here, I think it's just going to be a battle of inside versus outside. Obviously, Duke has the shooters shooting 42% from three-point range, and Carolina is leading the ACC in a lot of rebounding categories. They have the front court that, you know, that could hurt Duke inside. So I think as we're watching the game, seeing which coach kind of plays to the other team's strength, like if we see Coach Krzyzewski end up with a bigger lineup on the floor as opposed to three guards, where he's trying to match up with Carolina's front court, I would think that would tip in Carolina's favor, and vice versa. If we see Roy Williams maybe using Nate Britt, Leslie McDonald, and Marcus Page in a lineup at the same time, trying to play a little smaller to match up with Duke's perimeter guys, I think that would bode well for Duke. So I think there are going to be a lot of little games within the game that will determine this outcome.
Where are these two teams at this stage of the season? It seems to me that Carolina is playing pretty well right now. Where is Duke at this stage of the season?
Well, I think they've kind of mirrored each other coming into ACC play, both stumbling at the start, and now both teams, I'd say, have hit their stride. I mean, Duke has won seven of their last eight, and that one loss was an overtime thriller at Syracuse that they very easily could have won. So with a few more bounces, that would have went their way. So this is how you want to see this game played, you know, with both teams kind of coming in with confidence, coming in playing their best basketball, and that way there's no excuses for the loser when it all goes down.
Well, we should point out that the game will go on no matter what, and as you pointed out, it could be like that Maryland game in days of old where, you know, they let all the students come in and they provided a really crazy atmosphere, and other people just couldn't get there. We'll just have to wait and see on that. C.L. Brown, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
C.L. Brown, ESPN. Of course, you can watch it on ESPN. We'll also have it for you right here on WCHL, of course. And our coverage always starts at least 2 hours before game time with Countdown to Tip-Off right here on WCHL, your flagship station for Carolina. Carolina and Duke coming your way tonight. It's 8:26 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
10 reasons why Duke is in trouble if it snows. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Only an active nature can upstage Carolina Duke. Scheduled for tonight, as a 100% chance of snow and ice have left the crowd status in question, if not the game at 9 o'clock in the Dean Dome. Whether you make it as usual or are one of those lucky duckies they just invite in off the street because no one else can drive to the game, here are 10 reasons why Duke is in trouble if the forecast is correct. Number one, the Blue Devils will take our advice and go to hell Duke because it's much warmer down there. Number two, Mike Krzyzewski won't show up either because, as one of our former chancellors once said, Coach K is the devil incarnate. Guess which chancellor? Number three, Jabari Parker is from Chicago and instinctively goes sledding in a blizzard because all the courts were unplayable. Number four, Rodney Hood is from Mississippi and was taught to stay under his bed if it ever snowed anywhere he went. Number five, the Cameron Crazies, a.k.a. the New Jersey Devils, will be having so big of a snowball fight in Krzyzewskiville that the team will want to join in. Number six, Duke President Richard Broadhead, an ex-Yalie, knows of bad snow, will lock down the campus and assume UNC will understand and agree to reschedule the game. Right, Dick. Number seven, the Iron Dukes will put up enough dough to build an emergency tunnel to Chapel Hill, but it won't be done until early Thursday. Number eight, Marcus Page grew up in Iowa and played through these things every winter day of his life, once scoring 30 on skates. Number nine, Roy Williams grew up with a single mom and a strange father and no money. You think a snowstorm phases old Roy? And number 10, little-known secret, The Duke bus driver is a UNC fan, so there is no telling where the Blue Devils find themselves about 9 o'clock tonight. This is Art Chansky. See you there, I hope.
What I like about Diamonds Direct the most is that Diamonds Direct is truly a diamond importer.
Paul Tacorian, president of Tacori, the most sought-after engagement rings in America, talking about Diamonds Direct.
They have the largest selection of diamonds that you're going to find anywhere, and they have a huge selection of designer engagement rings.
And that selection, says Paul, is critical for guys.
Guys are going to spend a lot of money on a ring, and 70% of women don't like the engagement ring that they have because it's just a plain, generic ring. They want something that's beautiful, unique, and differentiates them from everyone. Else.
Diamonds Direct is proud to be a Tacori Platinum Partner with handcrafted unique designer rings, unbeatable value, and a world-class shopping experience.
Every single person that works in this store, when you come in, you'll see, has such a great passion for helping and informing the customers. What makes Diamonds Direct unique amongst all retailers across North America is that they truly have the largest selection of diamonds that they directly import. And they have every single designer under the sun that you can imagine in their store.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. It is 28 degrees in Chapel Hill. Snow starting at about lunchtime. We're expecting a total accumulation of up to 10 or 11 inches and some ice perhaps on top of that. We'll get some sleet and freezing rain after midnight tonight. That could cause some real problems for us.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Barrett, no use chancing it in Gainesville, Georgia. Richard Wilson saw cars sliding because of freezing rain. He was on his way to work at a Waffle House.
I could have drove, but I'm in walking distance, so I just walked. I'd much rather be safe than sorry.
In Atlanta, CBS's Mark Stressman.
Ice is beginning to glaze everywhere. You can see it's on highways, it's on secondary roads, it's on surface streets, and it's also on power lines and trees, and that, of course, is the big worry with a real spike in power outages expected.
Georgia Power says 40,000 customers don't have power now. FlightAware says more than 2,600 flights are not going anywhere. Amtrak cut back some of its trains in the south. WBBM-TV weather forecaster Megan Galero says after this leaves the south,
it then moves to the northeast as a classic nor'easter. You can see the snow beginning to fall in D.C. and in New York and then in Boston as it continues to make a play on off to the north and east. Now, what I expect is that the heaviest accumulations will be in interior portions of the northeast.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832 at WCHL, 28 degrees in Chapel Hill. Snow expected by the middle of the day, and a total accumulation 10 or 11 inches by lunchtime tomorrow. And our high today will remain about where it is. Temperature's going to stay steady all the way through tomorrow. It will get a little bit warmer tomorrow afternoon, up to about 35. National Weather Service is projecting between 6 and 11 inches of snow by the end of tomorrow for Orange County. National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Moneypenny says it ought to be a pretty constant event once it gets started. WCHL's Rand Northam has more.
It's going to be pretty much a continuous event. We're looking at the snow to continue to get a little bit heavier today, and then tomorrow as the system actually pulls off to the northeast, it will wrap around some cold air and some more snow, and that'll come across tomorrow through around lunchtime.
Moneypenny says the question of if has been been answered, but the more important question is what kind of precipitation the area will get and how much.
We have 100% probability of precipitation. Just about the whole state is going to be affected. The thing is, the ice accumulations right across the heart of the state, you know, from Charlotte up across Fayetteville and the Triangle area, including Chapel Hill, we could see power outages which would last for more than, you know, a day or so after the end of the storm.
Chapel Hill Carborough saw the worst flood since what some say dates back to the 1930s this summer. While this storm isn't being projected as an 80-plus year storm, Moneypenny says early estimates make it one of the worst in at least a decade.
We see these ice storms on occasion, but my goodness, you know, I have not gone back and researched it. But I think I've heard the number 2002 bandied around, the worst one since then, or the worst that we're forecasting since then.
Stay tuned to WCHL and Chapelboro.com for all the latest on the impending winter weather, including early releases from schools, closings, cancellations, and delays. On our website, you can also find the latest forecast and listen to the full interview with National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Moneypenny. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834 at WCHL, 28 degrees. As far as the schools are concerned, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools are going to school at the regular time today. However, they will dismiss early. Elementary schools will get out at 11 o'clock. Middle schools at 11:45. High schools at 12:30. Pretty much the same for the Orange County school system. Elementary schools also get out at 11 o'clock today. Middle schools will be dismissed at 11:30. And high school's at 11:45. So regular schedules to open and early dismissal for both the Orange County schools and the Chapel Hill Carborough City schools. Chatham County schools are closed. It's an optional teacher workday. Durham County schools plan to close 3.5 hours early. St. Thomas More Catholic School will close this morning at 11:30. Lunch will not be served. Afternoon activities are canceled. And those are all the school announcements we have to pass along. Chapel Hill Transit, including the Charlie Hill Express shuttles, will run as long as the routes will allow them. Any routes that cannot run will be announced on Chapel Hill Transit's website, and we'll have it posted on chapelboro.com. As a matter of fact, we'll have everything posted on our website throughout the day and the night, chapelboro.com, and listen to WCHL for updates, of course. Folks who enjoy Carborough's nightlife but worry about driving home afterwards may have had a little bit too much to drink and you don't want to drive home afterwards may once again leave their vehicles parked in public lots overnight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Just before Carborough's mayor and aldermen closed a work session to the public on Tuesday night, Alderman Damon Siles made the evening's last public motion.
That we remove the change we made around 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. parking in public lots.
It's been a nagging issue for Siles for several weeks, and voting on it was preempted by another threat of inclement weather a few weeks ago. But Tuesday, he finally got a vote on rescinding the town's prohibition on parking in public lots between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. It didn't take long. There was no need for staff presentations, and comments, such as this one from Alderman Jacqueline Gist, were few.
I'd second that because it was a mistake on our part, because it's encouraging people to drive cars when they shouldn't.
The ban was put in place last year. Speaking to WCHL recently, Siles recapped how parking in public lots during the wee hours became an issue in the first place.
Some residents who were beginning to use the public parking lot for long-term parking because, you know, presumably they didn't have enough parking on their properties.
Not long after Alderman voted for the ban, Siles and others reconsidered. He told WCHL that it wasn't because of a reported uptick in roadway accidents or DUI arrests. He said it was based on feedback from local business owners and constituents who just thought it was a bad idea to make people drive when they shouldn't just to avoid getting a parking ticket. Nobody has to worry about that anymore. Last night, aldermen unanimously removed the ban on wee hours parking. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
It is 837 at WCHL. We have something very important coming up in our community that we need to tell you about this morning. It involves the Orange County Literacy Council, and Catherine Bell joins us now to tell us all about Writers for Readers. And first of all, Catherine, if you would, tell us, what does the Orange County Literacy Council do here in our community?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for telling everybody about this. We try as hard as we can to, with the help of a lot of volunteer hours and a lot of community support, to educate people about illiteracy and also to help those that are struggling with either functional illiteracy or real illiteracy to move forward in their lives. And we have a 14% illiteracy rate here in Orange County, which is actually sort of staggering, and you did hear 14%, and that's correct. And so we help about 600 people a year to learn to read, and we have a huge and really great group of tutors that help people. And 350 of those people in the last year have reached literacy, and that's right now there are 247 full-time students, and we're hoping to raise those numbers and to work more on family illiteracy, because we're finding more and more that family literacy is a big predictor of how people will function, and it gives people a huge opportunity to succeed. And
Catherine,
that, of course, is a win-win.
You know, the amazing thing is that this has always been considered a very intelligent community. In Orange County, for example, 50% of the adult population has at least a bachelor's degree, 30% has an advanced degree, and 15% have trouble reading at a high school level. And that is a staggering statistic when you think about it. So many people right here in our community who can't read. How can people get involved if they would like to help change this?
Well, we would love anybody who wants to come out. And first of all, if you need help and you are having trouble with reading, please, please get in touch with us at the Orange County Literacy Council, because we will be delighted to help you. We have a lot of different ways to help people at all different levels. And if you would like to participate in learning to help people with functional illiteracy, we have a huge opportunity for volunteers, and we love our volunteers, and we have a really amazing group of people that represent our community in a very broad way and show, again, what a great community we do have. So
now,
there's lots of opportunities on both sides of that.
The Orange County Literacy Council's Writers for Readers is a special fun event involving books and authors and celebrating literacy and great literature. When is it, and how do folks find out more?
Oh, please come, because it's a really, really good night. We're at Top of the Hill on Tuesday, the 25th of February, and we have three local writers. Many of you would know Jay Lutze. And many of you younger readers will know Sarah Dessen.
Mm-hmm.
And then also our beloved Daniel Wallace, whose book Big Fish has just been on Broadway. And Top of the Hill, of course, is a local favorite. And Scott Maitland has been extremely generous. I've had many wonderful, wonderful sponsors. So Tuesday night, the 25th of February, David Hartman will conduct a panel with those three local and amazing authors. And we'll have lots of yummy food and drinks. And it's a really good crowd. And the stars come out for that night in our town. We have a great night, and we've been doing it now 7 years. And you can go on our website at Orange County Literacy Council and get a ticket. And we would love to have sponsors, and please come on, because it is a really, really remarkable event. Especially, it seems like it should be a world event, but it's really a local event. So I hope people will check it out and check out our website, because there's lots more information on that. And we've just been blessed with amazing sponsors, and It's just a real testament to our community that we can even have an event like that.
Well, I can tell you that if you've been around for a while, you know that David Hartman is quite a celebrity. He is the original host of Good Morning America on television and lives right here. And that's really exciting to have him involved in that as well.
And he's superb. And also, only you and I might know that, because we're the only people old enough, maybe.
I think there are quite a few more of us who would know that. But, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, if you want to find out more, you can go to orangeliteracy.org. And they have all the details there about Writers for Readers and about the Orange County Literacy Council in general. Catherine Bell, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I hope you'll come.
I hope to be there.
Okay, good. Thank you. Take care. And we hope you see a lot of snow. Bye-bye.
I don't know about the snow part. It's 842 at WCHL, and we have 28 degrees in Chapel Hill, and snow on the way, probably about lunchtime today, so batten down the hatches, get ready, stay tuned to WCHL, and check out our website on a constant basis, chapelboro.com. We have all the information there.
This is Stephen Lair with Home Instead Senior Care. It seems the temperatures have finally dropped for good, and with those lows come high risks for the elderly. As people age, their skin becomes thinner and their body's less able to sense changes in body temperature. In short, seniors get cold more quickly without realizing it, which puts them in danger of hypothermia. Take a moment to check in with a senior in your life to make sure that they're properly equipped for the winter months ahead. Coats, hats, and blankets could be just the thing to save a senior's life this winter. For more information, go to homeinstead.com, where to us, it's personal.
The word is spreading fast about Pita Grill, Chapel Hill's great new restaurant offering authentic, made-from-scratch Mediterranean cuisine. Locally and family-owned, Pita Grill's Egyptian influence creates a culinary experience you will crave again and again. Wraps and kebabs, heroes and pitas, salads and falafels, seasonal food, and more. Located in Timberline Shopping Center on Weaver Dairy Road, Pita Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner and is open 7 days a week. Visit them online at pitagrill.us or stop by for a taste you won't forget.
When you're in charge of an office, to make it run the way you want, you have to know how people think, how they react, and how to organize accordingly. And it also helps to know how machines think, because you know they've got minds of their own too. Hi, I'm Blake Smith, and I'm with CEI, the source in the triangle for your office equipment needs. I've been in the business for 10 years, and I have a bachelor's in psychology. I'm just saying. So if you want an office that knows how people think, visit me online at copycei.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
March Madness isn't here yet, but Chapelboro.com already has a bracket just for you. We're looking for the best restaurant in the area. Every Thursday, you can vote on a new round of matchups as we go from 64 of the area's favorite restaurants down through a Sweet 16, Elite 8, and a Final Four until we crown a Chowdown champion. And you can be a winner, too. Each week, we're giving away gift cards to local eateries just for casting your votes. So head to Chapelboro.com today to vote in the best of bracket and help us find your favorite restaurant.
28 degrees just ahead of the snow. We're expecting it at about lunchtime today. It is 8:45 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, our improving economy can't change the fact that some North Carolinians will never recover from the disruption that the financial crisis caused their career paths. And how do you measure this kind of impact? How do you understand the turmoil and strain in each individual's situation? Some writers say they can tell the truth about a situation better in fiction than with facts and figures. And that's what Elon University writing teacher Drew Perry's novel, Kids These Days, does. It tackles that task. And at the same time, it tells a story that is both funny and poignant. The book's central character, Walter, had a great job in the mortgage banking business in Charlotte. And then his wife persuades him to have a child that he's not really ready to have. And then as soon as she became pregnant, the recession hit and Walter was downsized out of his job. And his only job opening is through his wife's sister's husband, a guy named Mid Middleton, who owns a variety of small businesses in a beach town on the east coast of Florida, near St. Augustine. And Mid's formula is to buy into businesses that have the potential to grow and help the managers, but let them run the show, only checking on them from time to time to let them know he's interested in watching. So Walter and Alice leave Charlotte and move into a family condo near Mid's home in Florida. Walter learns that Mid's businesses include part ownership in a high-end real estate development, in which his luxury home is the only completed house. Mid also owns Island Pizza and some sea kayak rentals and umbrella shops. And in his opening, Twice the Ice, a standalone automatic ice dispenser. Well, the first big hint that Mid's business empire might be built on swampy land is the police raid on the Island Pizza that he owns. And Mid's arrest is a result of a marijuana distribution operation being run there. Mid, of course, says he knows nothing about it. Doubtful. Then the hints become headlines as two sets of law enforcement teams begin to follow Mid around. And one set persuades him to cooperate in bringing his colleagues to justice. Well, before Mid's business world really collapses, Walter and Alice also experience the falling apart of Mid's family. His 15-year-old daughter has taken up with an older man, gotten a tattoo, and finally she's even moved in with Walter and Alice because she no longer fits in her own family. Well, for all this, and as it gets worse and worse, Mid is remorseful, at least a little bit, as he tells Walter, "I had something else pictured, something calmer, fewer police, fewer wayward children, you know." Well, having watched Mid's daughter in action, Walter has to wonder whether he can possibly manage the growing up challenges of his daughter who's growing in Alice's womb. All right, kids these days, it's an entertaining read. It's perfect. It would have been perfect if it only had not made me worry about how close to the truth it is in shining a light on the desperate lives of young people whose lives have been torn apart by our recent economic unpleasantness. This is D.G. Martin.
All right, D.G., thank you very much. Good things to think about. 849 at WCHL, and time for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54, where you can always get great food, great drink, and you can also watch all those important sporting events like Carolina and Duke coming up tonight. And it's a great place to go if you are a sports fan and if you're a food fan, and that includes all of us. East 54 is where it is, Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL one more time, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 southbound between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road, seeing minor to moderate delays. NC-54 westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some delays right now as well. Minor and moderate delays. Nothing major out there. No accidents. No additional delays reported. I-40, MLK, Estes Drive, Franklin Streets. All areas moving pretty smoothly right now. That's certainly going to change later in the day, and if you see anything throughout the day, be sure to be a WCHL Road Warrior by giving us a call at 919-967-8363 or by tweeting us at WCHL. And Ron, speaking of Twitter, I want to take a second here if I could and ask that anyone who was planning to go to the Duke Carolina game tonight at the Dean Smith Center, if you were planning on it and you are, or even if you aren't planning on it, send us a tweet when you get a second. I want to see how many people are still planning to go to the Duke Carolina game, or if you're not planning, if you think the snow is going to get to you, or if you think any amount of snow would get to you tonight if you're not going to go. So send us a tweet. We'd be interested to hear.
Nothing stops Carolina and Duke.
That is true.
It'll
the game will go on.
Yeah, no question.
Actually, the ESPN crew, I'm sure, is already here, so sure they'll be doing it on ESPN regardless. It won't be like the Georgia Tech UNC game where the crew couldn't get to the game.
And you know, the Tar Heel Network is there too.
That is right.
Hey, we're not worried.
You betcha.
And WCHL will be here with the countdown to tip-off as well. So, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will talk to you a little bit later on. And, Ran, I know that you've talked to 1,000 people today already trying to stay on top of this weather situation and the roads and everything concerned, the schools, everything that's related. You know, the really cool thing that I'm really proud of the WCHL news team is the fact that we all, you know, some people, when it snows, everybody says, all right, I'm going to bundle up. I'm going to stay inside today. I'm not going to go anywhere.
That's right.
I'm going to take it easy. But everybody at the WCHL has to switch into high gear.
Very much so.
In this kind of a situation. So I know you're working really hard and your crew is working really hard. So
my wife already knows that she probably might not see me until we head to Book of Mormon tomorrow night.
Yeah, you never know. No, man. I mean, it's,
and that's another good note too. That the Durham Performing Arts Center has said it is on no matter what.
Yeah,
they can't postpone or delay the shows because it's a touring group. So the DPAC is on. If you've got tickets, you better go.
I'm supposed to go tonight, but I don't know if that's
going to
happen the way things are going. So, hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you. Rand will have updates for you throughout the day, bottom of the hour,
that's news updates.
And anytime anything warrants a special report, we'll have it for you.
Weather updates at the top of the hour as well.
Exactly. And check our website throughout the day because we'll have updates on there.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather brought to you by Peter Grill. Locally and family-owned, Peter Grill's Egyptian influence on Mediterranean cuisine creates a taste that you will crave. Peter Grill, located in Timberline Shopping Center. Peter Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner and is open 7 days a week. 28 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Snow starting at about lunchtime today, or so they say. Accumulation up to 3 inches by the end of the afternoon. Our temperatures are going to stay right where they are. Chance of snow, though, is 100%. That goes for tonight as well. In addition to the snow tonight, we're expected to have some sleet, some freezing rain, additional snow and sleet accumulation up to 4 inches overnight, ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. Temperatures are going to remain where they are in the upper 20s. It's also going to be rather windy tonight and early tomorrow morning. And tomorrow we could have some light freezing rain or freezing drizzle, and more snow is a big possibility. Chance of sleet in the morning as well. Additional snow and sleet accumulation up to 3 inches. Total snow accumulation up to 11 inches. And ice accumulation around a trace. High tomorrow in the middle 30s, so it's going to get a little warmer tomorrow afternoon. And chance of precipitation is 90% tomorrow. That sounds better than 100%, doesn't it? It's 8:54 at WCHL.
Have you been to Carver lately? You just couldn't make this place up. February is For the Love of Carver Month, and there is so much to see and do. Like the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Acts from New York, L.A., Chicago, far and near, here to perform as the next generation of comedy talent. Hashtag NCCAF takes place February 6th through the 16th in the heart of Carrboro. Come to Carrboro and feel free. Unwind, create, taste, play, and be yourself. Follow us on Facebook at For the Love of Carrboro.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Wake up with Ron Stutz, and remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
It's good to be back in here today. Not 100%, but good to be back behind the mic. And thank you to Aaron and Rand for filling in while I was away. And thank you for bearing with me through some tough times this morning. It is 8:56 at WCHL. You remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond? What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answers to those questions. The word of the day always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty, and your number to call once again for a $10 gift card to Cruisers, 919-929-WCHL.
At Five Guys, they're in business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all 15 free toppings. And who can resist Five Guys fresh cut Idaho fries cooked in trans fat and cholesterol free peanut oil? It's no wonder that Five Guys has been Sagat survey rated for 11 years. Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about. For more locations and hours, visit fiveguys.com.
What do cows and clutter have in common? Both can help you eat more chicken. Between now and March 1st, gather up sterling flatware, gold and silver jewelry, and spare coins. Bring it to Jewelry Cycle in University Mall, right next to Chick-fil-A, and we'll give you a cash offer on the spot, plus a coupon for a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. There is no obligation to accept either, but it's a jewel of an offer. Best one you'll get till the cows come home. Jewelry Cycle in University Mall. Bring in your bling and get some moolah, plus a chance to eat more chicken on us.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel
Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Attention, Carolina fans. Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at FitchLumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at DurhamTech.edu.
WCHL Championship Sports brings you a look at the Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast. Tonight it's North Carolina and Duke live at the Smith Center here on WCHL. Tip time scheduled for 9 p.m. Our coverage begins with a special hour-long version of Countdown to Tip-Off at 7. It is Carolina versus Duke, and it's right here on WCHL. Well, the snow is on the way, as probably by about lunchtime today. Our high today is going to stay about where it is. Temperatures will remain in the upper 20s all day. 100% chance of snow today, tonight, and early tomorrow. Maybe some ice and sleet and freezing rain, all that kind of stuff tonight as well.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina football.
No, he's not! Yes, he is! Touchdown!
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapane. Old Man Winter is causing trouble with a capital T in parts of the South. At least five big rigs have been involved in a chain reaction collision on the icy Mississippi River Bridge in Vicksburg, Mississippi. In Georgia, power company spokeswoman Carol Boatwright says 40,000 customers have lost power.
The majority of those problems are from sleet and rain accumulating on trees and tree limbs that are breaking and falling into power lines.
CBS's Mark Strassman describes conditions in Atlanta.
The freezing rain turned to sleet a couple of hours ago, and that's going to become a thick layer of ice everywhere as the day goes on. Downtown Atlanta is deserted, and you can forget rush hour this